Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your boss, and I'm here with my amigo, the professor. What's up, bro?
What's happening, brother? What's good?
Enjoying the holiday weekend, you know.
I wish it was longer. I should have taken tomorrow.
I'm saying. Tried a little something different this year, so I'm just chilling this year. But I think I might make this a day on next year. Maybe try and get the boss fam involved, do a little service activity, you know. Okay. So we'll see. So look for it, 2020, folks. Come back to you then.
That's right.
All right, man. We got a couple things in geek news this week. Got Flash starting back up, you know. So, you know, that was dope. Couple trailers. Professor saw some movies, so we're going to ask him about that.
I did.
Yeah, man. And then we got some news, Marvel and DC camps that we're going to wrap up with and talk about those.
All right, works for me.
Yeah, man. So let's dig in. So Flash started back this week, super hype, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
It's a great day back, at the office. So yeah, man, I'm loving where the story is going. I'm loving how things are affecting characters. Like, we're seeing characters go through different things, even though they're telling this main overarching story. They're still successfully telling character stories within the major arc.
Yeah. I almost feel like there's two major arcs that we got going.
Yeah.
One being Nora.
Uh huh.
And the other being Cicada.
Yep.
So I kind of feel like those two are kind of going the whole season. They're actually, what normally to me, when you do that, the season just gets too confusing. But they're actually moving it, I think, pretty well this season as far as keeping that stuff together.
Yeah. Because it's like they do a good job of mixing, because now, like, Cicada's kind of taking a backseat because there's been kind of radio silence from him. So now it's time to ramp up the Nora story arc. And then you got the sub arcs of, you know, Cisco and Caitlin trying to find this quote-unquote cure for metas. And then you got, I mean, which I kind of add on top of Nora's story arc is Sherlock looking into Nora. So, you know, some good stuff, man.
Yeah, I have this feeling we're going to find out more sooner than later why exactly Iris didn't let Nora have her powers right away.
Yep.
You know, like, that's part of that whole story. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to find out why.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling there's going to be a really good reason for it more sooner than later. So,
yeah, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was talking to my girl about this last night, man. I completely understand. Like, Nora is working my entire nerve right now. It's like one thing after. And I think my biggest thing with her, and I was telling her this last night, my biggest thing with Nora is she doesn't digest things. Things don't affect her in a way where she can, like, sit and kind of be, you know, pensive about it and kind of disseminate it, break down that information, and then apply it to life. She reacts in extremes to everything that she goes through. It's like, If she finds out somebody lied to her, so now she can't trust everybody that's like this person. And it's just like, come on. Like, your dad got hurt in the field. Now you don't want him to go out in the field because he's going to die on every mission. You've been doing this for years. It's like, you went to a museum dedicated to his exploits. Like, you know exactly what he does and how he lives through everything. So it's like, yes, it's a dangerous job. Got to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people lie to you, but not all bad guys are created equally. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, come on, man, like, break some stuff down. And then what happens is when she reacts as extremely as she does nothing but get in the way. It's just annoying.
She ultimately causes a lot more trouble than she helps. That's
yeah, cool. Definitely, man. And it's like, now I'm just at a point now where I was like, man, I kind of understand future Iris. Like, I would lock her powers up too. This girl is I would welcome the help of a tornado or a natural disaster before I ask Nora to do anything for me. Oh, man. Tell me.
And that whole, you know, that whole relationship she's got with Thawne's got to play out in some way too now.
Yeah, true.
You know, we know she's been going back to the future to see Thawne every once in a while, so.
Yeah, man.
We got to see where this is all going.
Yeah, man. That's interesting, because I have no idea where that's going to go. Because I just was like, man, I thought we were done with Thawne, but he is like the rash that just won't quit.
And it's interesting that it's the Wells Thawne, too. It's
yeah.
The other Thawne. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions this season so far. It's only halfway through, so.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't wait for them to get started back up with this one and see where stuff's going.
Yeah, dude. Let's see. What else we got? We got a John Wick 3 trailer that came out last week.
Yes.
Whew. Lord.
I have to check the date and put my time off in right now, because I will go that morning to see that movie, because I did it with the last one too, because it just looks so awesome.
Yeah, man. It's like the faces, man. Is this like a mini Matrix reunion? I really feel like this is a mini Matrix reunion.
It really seems like it's headed that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, because that was Carrie Ann Moss in the trailer, right? I feel like I saw her in the trailer.
I don't think it was Carrie Ann Moss.
No, it might have been somebody else. It could have been Ruby Rose, but
no. Can't well, be she sure. died in the second one, didn't she?
That's right. Yeah, she did. She did.
Or did she? Well, I guess we don't know if she officially did, because she does say at one point, "See you later," and he's like, "Yeah," and he turns around and walks out.
Right.
In very, very Keanu style. Yeah.
Maybe next time. Oh, Angelica Houston in there.
Angelica Houston. Yeah, yeah, man. Mark, I know you got all excited for Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, dog. Like, yo, man. Like, if you just want a 90s up your movie, put Mark Dacascos in it, man. Yo, like, it's just like all the feels from, like, every 90s movie ever. I just feel like Hard Target. You got... what was the joint that he was in? He had the blood. Was he in Bloodsport?
No. He was in the one Jet Li movie though. Oh God, what was it? It was an awful movie, but it's fun. One of those fun awful movies.
Oh man.
Where is it? Not Maximum Impact. Wait a minute. He was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit. He was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit.
I don't remember that.
He'd been on Iron Chef for I don't know how long.
He's an Iron Chef forever, yeah.
Yo, he's the... That was kind of perfect on their part. That was, yeah.
Cradle to the Grave, that's the one.
Cradle
to
the Grave. Yeah, Cradle to the Grave. Was he in Cradle to the Grave?
He was, yeah. Yeah, well, look at IMDb right. Now. It's a terrible movie, but it's fun.
Yeah, man.
It's fun to watch.
I'm going to go through everything 90s. Let's see. He was on the original
Flash.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yo,
that's crazy. Yup. American Samurai. I remember that. Double Dragon. Jimmy Lee.
I admit I never saw Double Dragon.
Yo. Double Dragon was... Alyssa Milano was in Double Dragon, bro.
My God,
she had the short blonde hair, like, yo, it was like the not even like the what do I want to say? It was a close cut. I want to say like buzz, but like it was a little longer.
Oh, one of those,
like a bob or something. Like it was, yeah, it was close. He was on Kickboxer 5. That's right, Kickboxer 5. Yo, dog.
Oh, he was Kung Lao in the Mortal Kombat
Legacy. Yeah, that's right. That's right, man. Oh, man.
He's one of those guys that you see his face all over the place and you know who he is, but you can never remember his name.
Yep. That's how it's always been for me. I was like, if you see him, I know it's about to go down. It's going to be a 90s movie.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
The Crow's Stairway to Heaven. Oh my gosh, that used to be my show, dog.
Oh my God.
Because he did kind of have that Brandon Lee look, you know what I'm saying? So, oh my God.
He's like a modern day Al Leung.
Yes,
And if you don't, if you're listening and you don't know Al Leong, look at Google. It's A-L-L-E-O-N-G. He's the bad guy Asian with the really long hair in every single 80s movie you can find.
Because he was a stunt coordinator too, right? He was a stunt coordinator. That's why he always was in there. He was like the go-to stunt coordinator. And so he would always play like the bad guy henchman.
He was, what was his character name? I think in Lethal Weapon he was Endo. In Lethal Weapon he was the one at the end of the movie who's shocking Riggs. He's got him over the barrel with the two electrodes and he's shocking him at the end of the movie. That's Al Leong. He's been in like a billion movies because he's that one guy who just gets killed like every movie.
Oh, he got that borderline Fu Manchu going on.
Yes he does. Nowadays, man, he looks a little like Tommy Chong.
Yeah. I'm telling you, for that alone, and I've been really feeling bald Mark DeCasas. Like
he looks good. Looks good on him. I have to admit. And he's, you know what? Look, honestly, he's not a great actor by any stretch of the imagination, but he will be good in this movie. He will make this movie fun. I guarantee.
Yep. I can guarantee you his bad guy is going to be marked by a few words.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Robin Lord Taylor's in this, plays Penguin on Gotham.
Yeah.
Definitely some names in this movie, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it just because it's John Wick 3, but I'm absolutely looking forward to this movie.
Oh, man. Freaking Double Dragon. Oh, now you got me in my feels. Still...
At some point, this is going to turn back to The Last Dragon again, and it's just going to get all kinds of ugly.
Everything goes full circle, man.
Everything goes full circle. That's the sad part.
It's crazy because they had really, like, they had some, like, top talent at the time playing in this movie. Like, you had Scott Wolf as Billy, Mark DeCasas as Jimmy, Robert Patrick as Koga Shuko.
Oh my God, Robert Patrick.
Dog. And he had the, like, in the movie, he had, like, the blonde top. Like, his the top of his hair was blonde, but the sides was, like, brunette or, like, black. Yo.
Oh,
like, this is quintessential pop 80s, man.
I've never seen it, and I probably never will.
The Dragon Wagon.
Oh, my God.
Yo. Oh, man. Don't take my word for it, folks. Experience this piece of history for yourself. You won't thank me later.
No, you won't.
Oh, man.
I've never seen it, and I don't want to see it. By what you've described to me, I've got no interest in seeing this movie whatsoever.
The main reason I wanted to see this movie was because of Alyssa Milano. Like, I'm just going to put that out there because she has and always will be the hotness, like, for real. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Sheesh.
How we got to Double Dragon from John Wick 3.
I'll
never really understand, but we got there.
The geek universe is a web. It's a tapestry.
Once in a while, there's those strands you just don't want to pull on.
Yep.
You do anyway.
Oh, well, that's a good transition. God. Speaking of webs.
Ooh, well done.
Oh, man. So the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer got released. And
cannot wait.
The only it just
thing
looks
I'm looking forward more to this is Endgame.
I'm saying. Like this movie is literally spoiling the part, a major part of Endgame for me, but I don't care.
Because even Kevin Feige came out and said that Endgame or Far From Home takes place after Endgame.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I know that they're playing loose with time because I feel like time is going to be a major theme in Endgame. So
I think so.
I heard it argued that the theory is that Far From Home happens. That's where Peter is going when he's on the school bus. That he's
like
supposed
he's headed somewhere.
He's headed to the trip. So if that alien ship never comes down, he would have stayed on the bus and went on this trip to Europe. So,
yeah, there's a lot of theory that well, I shouldn't say there's a lot of theory, but there's a lot of theory that the time stone is going to be the big thing in this movie. Like,
yeah.
One of the things I've heard, and it was told to me by our friend JR, who read it, and I never read it, but if you watch through Infinity War, you'll notice that every other stone Thanos actually holds in his hand before he puts in the gauntlet.
Yep. I think we talked about this.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Because if you look at it, he never touches anything. He never touches the like, even Strange doesn't actually physically touch the Time Stone as he passes it from himself to Thanos. So there's something going on there.
There's something going on there. My thought now that I read the stuff that I read, what I'm thinking is that it's going to all get reversed. Like obviously the snap's going to get reversed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of these people are coming back. They're all going to come back to life. But I wonder if there's going to be some kind of reversal where, and we might have talked about this already too, but there's like a memory wipe. And like the only people who remember everything are the people who have the stones. Like whoever's become the stone keepers after this movie is over, if that's what happens. The new Illuminati will be the only six who remember what happened.
Yeah.
That everybody else will go back to that day that the Black Order arrived coming to Earth, and everything will just continue straight forward from there like it never happened.
You know, I never thought of that. Like the people who have the who are the people who stayed?
So the original stayed are the original six, right?
Right.
So it's Cap, Iron Man, the Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye is out there somewhere, and Thor, plus Rocket, Nebula, War Machine, are the ones that we know are still alive. Recent toy releases make people think that Valkyrie's still out there, although toy releases people say, oh, this is, you know, gospel, and then the movie comes and it never happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there was a Winter Soldier toy that had Red Skull in it, so everybody was sure Red Skull was going to be the movie, and he wasn't anywhere in there. So, you know, you gotta take all that stuff with a grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones we know for sure from the movie are those, what, eight people, nine people?
Yeah.
For sure. That we know survived. The original Avengers, Cap, Iron Man, Widow, Thor, Hulk, Hawkeye, and then Rocket, Nebula, and
Okoye and War Machine.
Oh, and Okoye. Okay.
Yeah,
Okoye,
yeah, from so. All the people that were still. I mean, I guess you could, M'Baku's still there, but like, mainly the Avengers is what I'm worried about. Yeah.
Right. Oh, and Ant-Man. So we know Ant-Man's still alive because he's in the trailer for the movie. So there's only about 11 heroes really left, if you count Okoye. If you count M'Baku, it's 12. But
yeah.
I don't know how much of a role like Okoye and M'Baku are going to have in Endgame ultimately. I think it might stick to just the Avengers and those heroes ultimately. I have a feeling they'll be that we have to stay and protect Wakanda from whatever could arrive now kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them take sit out. I wouldn't also be surprised to see Shuri show up and take part somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
Because we don't know for sure. Like, there's thought that she's gone, because in the trailer there's showing screens of people who have been erased from the snap and her face comes up. But they don't really have any way to know, because Peter's face is one of those faces that pops up. They don't even have any way to know that Peter was really removed unless Stark is back on Earth at that point, which
we don't
know.
Right.
So there's a lot of those unknowns that are happening. But to me, it seems like that will make the most sense, that they roll it back to that point in time. Only the six that have the stones remember, so I would guess it would be, if we're guessing, let's say for sake of argument, everybody survives.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be Cap would have one, Iron Man would have one, the Hulk would have one, Widow would have one, Hawkeye would have one, and Thor would have one.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's going to be how it goes, because they've always said that, you know, humans, regular humans, can't really hold the stone. So Widow wouldn't be able to hold it. Hawkeye wouldn't be able to hold it. Cap really wouldn't be able to hold it, maybe, because of his enhanced stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stark could build something that might be able to hold it.
Yeah.
Thor could probably hold one, because Thor's not human, ultimately.
Right.
And the Hulk really wouldn't be able to hold it, because technically he's human. Even if in his Hulk form, you would think he wouldn't be able to hold it. But, who knows at this point.
Because the beauty of it is they could give him the Mind Stone, and he could have some kind of control over his Hulk savagery. That would be interesting.
That could very well be.
I would love to see Thor use it as a replacement for his eye instead of the one that Rocket gave him.
That'd be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see. So there's always that rumor. Now, this is if he survives, which the general consensus is he won't. But the one rumor is that, you know, Cap's going to get his happy ending. He's going to go back in time, be with, what's her name?
Peggy.
Mm-hmm. You know, and get his happy ending. So, if Evans is really done, or if he's done for now, to me it would almost make sense for them to give him the time stone. So now he could take himself back in time to where he was, live out his life there, and then anytime he wanted to, could bring himself back to the modern day.
Oh. Like if
he's, you know what I mean? Like he could control going back, if he's able to control it, and control it that way, he could go anywhere he wants. So you could always bring him back in a fashion because he's got the time stone.
Yeah. My only question with that is would Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Collective, would they let that happen?
Well, that's where my other confusion comes in. So the Eye of Agamotto is Strange's main piece. That's been the whole thing throughout all of the Marvel comics. That's been he's always had the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they changed it to the eye is one of the stones.
Mm-hmm.
So does he get a stone back and it becomes the eye again, or does the eye become something else, or how does that happen? Like, what's the story? Like, is he going to still have an eye, or are we just going to totally remove that from Doctor Strange lore, you know, at some point? So that's what I'm kind of curious about, is how that's going to turn out.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, Dad, we went on a complete tangent from the Spider-Man trailer. That's all right. That's how it works. It's all connected.
It's all gets right. It's all good. It's all that web we were just talking about. It all fits together.
Oh man! But yeah, let's talk about the trailer a little bit. I mean, I loved it.
I loved it too.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely loved it.
I mean, seeing Happy in there, kind of flirting with Aunt May, like.
That part of the trailer cracked me up so hard when Peter's looking back and forth and he's, what just happened? And just get that look on his face like, what's going on here? To me, it's brilliant. I loved that scene. That made me laugh really hard.
Oh, man, yeah, that was good. Watching Mysterio get introduced, that was great.
There's just so many kind of quick little questions that, like, they vary from everybody who reviews this trailer.
Yep.
Some people are saying it's Hydra Man. Some people are saying it's an elemental name. I forget the names of them, but there's apparently these three elemental beings. One's fire, or four of them, I guess.
Uh-huh.
One's fire, one's earth, one's water, and one's wind. That they're saying those are the things that are coming forward here.
Right.
Some people are saying it's not. It's Sandman and Hydra Man and two other things that we don't know the names of. Somebody said the one fire beast was Molten Man. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Could be the Human Torch, the original.
Yeah.
I mean, if we shoot with our theories now.
Yeah, right. I wish I could remember. I read a really good article once that gave the names of these different elemental creatures and said, this is clearly what's in the trailer. And it made kind of the most sense.
Yeah.
I don't think they would introduce, unless, and this is one of my wild theories, unless they're going to try to introduce their own Sinister Six and use Mysterio to be the Doc Ock character who brings everybody together.
Because
I don't buy for a minute in the trailer that he's a hero. Mysterio's never been a hero. I don't know why they would change that now. I think in the trailer they show him attacking this thing so he can pretend to be a hero to get on the good graces of people. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. But unless they're going to try to do that, use him as the bad guy who brings the Sinister Six together, it wouldn't make sense to have Hydra Man and Sandman in Paris.
Like, right.
They wouldn't be there. They're criminals. They're low-level criminals, essentially, have always been in the United States.
Yep.
So, to me, that wouldn't make any sense to do that. So, I do think there are these elemental things that that guy's article talked about. I wish I remember what they were.
Yeah. Because it would make sense if it was a story set up where Mysterio found this alien tech or something, and you know thought he could use it to make himself look good in front of the people. But something happens where it goes out of control or something like that. That's believable. And And the reality is, you change the dynamics of the game when you involve Nick Fury. Nick Fury if there's a problem and Nick Fury's involved, it's either global or cosmic. So, for me, it would have to be something like that.
There's an interesting theory as to why it's Fury, and the thought that I heard, and this was on Kevin Smith podcast, was that maybe Stark definitely dies.
Mm-hmm.
So now Fury's got to step kind of back into the forefront to take control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's the one coming to Spider-Man and not Stark showing up all of a sudden. That's why there's no Tony in the movie anywhere, things like that. So that's an interesting kind of a little bit of a theory there.
Yeah.
As to why we're seeing Fury in there. But the curious question becomes, how does Fury know who he is?
He's Fury. Never,
Stark figured it out. So he probably figured it out through Fury. But yeah. Like, how does he know? That's what I'm curious to find.
Yeah.
I don't care. We got Samuel L. back in the movie. That's all I really care about.
Y'all played us. Y'all got us.
Now gets there. I'm good. And he's still apparently very angry about not being in Black Panther, but that's okay.
It's still Black Panther 2.
Black Panther 2. He's still got a shot.
You know, and if you're back on top now, if you back leading S.H.I.E.L.D., then I'm sure you're going to have some correspondence with Wakanda. Especially now since the whole thing I feel like with the sequel that's going to happen is there's going to be that juggling that T'Challa has with being King of Wakanda and being an Avenger. That's going to be a problem. So if he's an Avenger, I'm sure Nick Fury is going to be in that joint.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be that whole you keep leaving Wakanda to save the rest of the world, but you leave Wakanda defenseless.
Right.
You know, while you're gone, even though we all know Wakanda's not defenseless, even if Black Panther's not there.
Right.
So maybe more you leave the Wakanda leaderless kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did manage to find this here. So, in the comics, there are thousands of year-old evildoers from another dimension who became immortal after mastering the powers of natural forces, hence their names. The leader, Hellfire, controls fire. Magnum controls rocks and minerals. Hydron controls water, and Zephyr controls the air. Once upon a time, the four of them had ruled a kingdom on our Earth, but they were deposed when they tried to conquer ancient Egypt and were banished from this dimension. So that's who I think these four characters are probably supposed to be, the four beasties we see in the movie.
Oh, man.
What that makes me think of, okay, so it's one of two things. Obviously, either Mysterio to, well, I shouldn't say obviously, this is my thoughts. Mysterio's made a deal with them to help them take back over, but he has to come across as the good guy for them to, you know, for people to think that he's taking care of them, and, you know, his, like, the beams he's shooting out of his gauntlets in the trailer, it's Mysterio. He could make people see whatever he wants them to see. Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're there.
Right.
Or he did something that awakened them, trying to gain his own powers.
Mm-hmm.
He awakened them, brought them back, and now he's trying to defeat them to steal their power.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. Something along those lines makes the most sense for me as far as this goes, so. I'm not going to buy the fact that Mysterio's a good guy at all. And if he is, I'm going to be a little disappointed because I think that's a silly way to take the character. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. But yeah, folks, I mean, check out the trailer, man. It's worth it. And I'm definitely looking forward to this release date. I think we're getting close up to some releases. You know, February's passing and then March and we'll be in Captain Marvel land. And then, you know, to infinity and beyond.
Isn't Captain Marvel in February?
Is it February?
I thought it was February.
I thought it was March. I think it's March. I think it's March 3rd.
Captain Marvel release date. Oh, you're right. March 8th. They must have moved a little bit. That's surprising because Endgame is April 26th. They usually don't put them that close together. Usually at least a month or two in between them.
So. Yep. I think we're in store for some big news drops once this deal gets finalized. So we'll see how it goes.
DC once again puts a movie out right before Endgame. Shazam is April 5th. So
it's got like 2 weeks. Is it the week before?
It's 2 weeks before. It's April 26th is Endgame.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, Shazam's got like 2 weeks to make some money before it's a wrap.
I mean, you know, that's good. I guess. Good on them. I mean, yeah, you'll get 2 weeks. Good job, guys. I mean,
but look, Far From Home is set for July 5th for a holiday weekend. That movie's going to make all the money.
All of globally, right too. To it. Globally. Yes. Spider-Man is a global name. So, yeah, it's going down.
That's
going
to make some money. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, like you said, definitely go check that trailer out. That movie looks awesome.
Yeah, man. We got some a couple movies that the professor saw. He saw Bohemian Rhapsody and Bumblebee, so we can talk about Bumblebee a little bit first. And then I definitely want to pick your mind, get your thoughts on Bohemian Rhapsody, because I want to try and check that out this week. So, Bumblebee, man.
Easily the best Transformers movie they've done so far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I say that without any kind of joking or any kind of sarcasm to it. It's easily the best Transformers movie
they've done so far.
Just the visuals of the characters, the way the characters look. The story is actually pretty good.
Yep.
You know, the difference now between some of the old ones is when the Transformers are actually fighting, you can actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they're all jumbled together and hard to see. You can tell them apart. You can see what's happening.
Yep.
And it's just a good, it's a good, you might even almost call it a good feel-good movie. Like, it's got a lot of heart to it. It's a really good movie. Like, yep. I've always liked Haley, was it Steinfeld or Steinfeld?
Yeah.
I liked her in, what was the remake she was the little girl in? The Western.
True Grit?
True Grit, thank you.
Yeah.
She was great in that as a kid. She was really, really good. And I know I think maybe more than her acting has been leaning on her music a little bit over the past couple of years. I could be wrong since then. I don't know. I haven't really seen her in a whole lot. But she's really good in this. She's a good actress. I think she's fun to watch. She keeps you in the story. She gives you that whole... She's a lot of the heart of the movie.
Yep.
You know, because of her story when you see what's going on with her. And it just... It was really, really well done. I was surprised how much I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Optimus Prime they give you looks like the old school cartoon Optimus Prime. It is perfect.
Yeah, buddy, man.
It's the bright red with the brighter blue on the legs. It just looks awesome. And it's kind of a spoiler, so I won't say that part. we can mention that when we're done. The end of the movie is what I'm thinking, is what I want to comment on.
Yeah.
Say that. It's just good. You know what I mean? They explain to you why Bumblebee can't talk anymore. They finally tell you what exactly his issue was.
Yep.
And it's just really well done. Like, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. It was really good. Like, just being able to get introduced to their backstory by actually being in Cybertron as opposed to getting that voiceover that we got in the first Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I appreciate like an Optimus voiceover. You know what I'm saying? Kind of explaining story stuff. But, you know, it's the easy way out of actually going to Cybertron. So it was cool to actually be there. See that, be on the battle line, see what was going on, and get Bumblebee's backstory. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to him to just show up. And it was cool getting Bumblebee as the bug to start off. Yes. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it should have been. You know? You know, we got the little nod to the original in the first Transformer, but Bumblebee, for all intents and purposes, is a bug this entire movie. He is a Volkswagen Beetle. So it's that homage to the 80s Transformers that we wanted all these years.
And they show you how he turns out becoming a Corvette instead.
Yeah.
You know, in the movie. All I know is when I saw and heard two simple words in a single voice was Ravage, Eject, I almost had to stop the movie because I just lost my mind because it was so perfect. Yep. That was Soundwave was always my favorite Transformer character. Yep. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because the voice was so different and was so cool. It was always my favorite. When they give you the perfect look Soundwave and he literally opens the chest, says Ravage Eject like the old school cartoons, and out comes the cassette tape that turns into the dog.
Yep.
I lost it. And it was right at the beginning of the movie. I lost it. I loved it.
And it's easy to, and like people don't really understand, like back in its heyday, like Frank Welker did a lot of these voices. You know what I'm saying? He did. So it's like, okay, I'm glad that he came on and did Optimus Prime, but pay this man and let him do what he was paid to do originally, which was voice these characters. You know, so when you hear it in a little scratchy, you know, Ravager, like, oh, okay.
Yes. And you know what? What I really appreciated actually in the movie is the fact that, one, they don't try to squeeze in a bazillion Transformers and muddle the waters with 100 different guys you're supposed to keep track of.
Right.
The beginning, you see a lot of them, but you don't need to know who they are.
Nope.
Because throughout the rest of the movie, there's only like 4 or 5
yep.
that you have to keep track of.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to shoehorn in any of the silliness like the twin brothers from the one movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they added a female Transformer as Decepticon, and it felt natural. It didn't feel like it was jammed in there, like, hey, we're going to put a woman in here because we have to. It felt like she belonged
as a
character and as Decepticon.
Hey, God, let's talk about that. Angela Bassett, yo, she killed that. She definitely
killed. Is that who that was?
That was who that was, dude.
She was great.
Yeah, she was amazing. I was like, God, this woman is terrifying.
She was evil. I didn't know that was her. She was really good as that
character.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, man. And this is the thing. It's like, when you first sit down and watch this movie, one of the first things that they do is they give you like the whole, you know, you get the whole credits, you know, you see who it's direct. No, they don't normally do that when it starts off now. It's normally at the end.
Right.
But once I found out that the direction was going to be different for this movie, man, it's just like you can feel the difference. Like the tropes that what's the guy's name? Michael Bay uses. Like that even when you think about the twin Transformers, that's a Bay move. That's what he does in his movies. Like he has his buddy cop action movies, and then there's always the comedic relief where there are characters that are, for lack of a better term, clowns. Like they are literally just clowns for the film, and that's who those two characters was. You don't get that in this movie at all. Like you have light moments. You have light moments which is natural. That's what you want in like a kind of like an action flick. You don't want everything to be high octane all the time. But the comedy was like subtle, and it was just like, hey, here you go, boom, laugh. People are laughing. Move on to the next thing. You know, it's not like, okay, can somebody shut these twins up so we can go on with the rest of this movie? Yeah. You know? So it's like it's Travis Scott, man. Well done,
very well done.
Yeah,
very well
done. Cause this movie, wow,
it was what you wanted to see for a Transformers movie. It was really, really well done. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. So I'm trying to see what the digital release date is for.
It should be very soon, only because how I was able to view my.
They're saying for March 2019, available on Blu-ray and DVD, and then digital HD video and iTunes for March. Yeah, it's the same month.
So. That's one I may actually add to my collection. So that's how much I did enjoy it. I may actually buy that one.
And hey, like this is, don't go in here and be like, oh, well, this is connected to the Transformer movies. It's not. The way they set it up, they've rebooted this franchise. Even though Bumblebee may look the same, the franchise is under new management, and you can clearly see that when the AllSpark logo goes across the screen. Like this is Hasbro's content. This is their world now.
It's not a huge story, but this is definitely an origin story type movie.
Yep.
When you watch it.
Yeah, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else Allspark comes out with. Think they have a He-Man movie in the works. They plan on doing He-Man, they plan on doing their own take on She-Ra. And I think G.I. Joe's getting rebooted. So I'm down.
I mean, if they're gonna do it and they're gonna do it as well as this one, I'd be okay with most of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Bohemian Rhapsody?
I liked it. I did like it. I mean, I can't say that I'm a Queen diehard. I do like Queen a lot. I do like a lot of their music, but I'm not like I don't own every album or anything like that. I was curious in the movie because a lot of people said it was very good, and it was very good. Rami Malek looks a little bizarre with the teeth in the entire movie, which I think is kind of part of it. I mean, that's what Freddie Mercury had. So, I don't know. I've heard stories that the movie's not entirely accurate. I don't know, you know, what is accurate, what isn't accurate. But it's good. I mean, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I
There's
mean,
a
I'm
lot
like,
of cool background stuff in it.
yeah, that, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like, as long as the family approved it, I don't really care. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because don't nobody know you better than your family, and if they cleared it, it's all good. You know,
I mean,
so.
like I honestly didn't know, and partially because I never looked it up, but I didn't know that he's like, I don't know if he's Pakistani.
Yeah, like he's yeah, he's like I know he I don't know exactly where from.
The various points in the movie, they call him a Pak, like the English people, they call him a Paki, which is clearly short for Pakistani.
Yeah.
But I know he corrects somebody at one point. He says, "I'm not Pakistani. I'm something." And I forget what it was that he said, but he's something from that particular region of the world.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Like I had no idea that he was that kind of. Not that it would matter, but I didn't know. And that's something you learn from the movie. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know he was married at one point
Yeah,
to a
India. He's
woman.
from India.
India, right? So
Yeah.
he's Indian, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was married to a woman at one point in his life. You know, I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah,
And in the
yeah.
movie, he is, spoilers, but it's, you know, it's a
Yeah,
bio, so
it's a
it's a really spoiler
biopic.
when it comes right down to it. You know, I had no idea that he was at one point married to a woman. So it just, it was good. It's fun to watch. The music is great. You know what I mean? They do. It's a little odd that the whole movie ends on the Live Aid concert just because it's kind of a, I, not that it's a, it kind of is a weird ending, maybe, I guess, for a movie itself. It's basically the entire Live Aid set. So it's not the most inventive ending to the movie, but it's still good. It's a lot. I mean, it's interesting. I very much enjoyed watching the movie, so I'll say that much for sure.
Yeah. I know they're re-releasing it too. They're doing the sing-along thing. So, you
Oh,
know,
I
if
didn't know
you're,
that.
yeah, if you're a Queen fan and you want to go sing along with the movie, go back and check it out.
I mean, I could tell you that one of the more interesting things that I did was I went back and actually looked at the real band versus the actors in the movie. They found people who look a lot like the real band. Like the kid who plays Brian May looks just like Brian May. Like it's really kind of scary when you watch the movie.
Yeah, man. I've seen the videos where the lot they matched the Live Aid concert with the movie, and it's like beat for beat. Like their precision with that follow through was bar none. So.
It was good. Like, and I went back and actually watched the real concert performance, and it is pretty much spot on, like you said, beat for beat.
Yeah.
So, it's a good movie, though. I would definitely, if you're a Queen fan at all, or if you're just a music fan and you like Freddie Mercury, I would definitely check out the movie. It's good. It's a
Yeah,
good
man.
story.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm
How
probably
much of it is true, who knows? But I would check it out.
We can dive into that right now, just a little bit. You know,
We can,
I'm
sure,
seven
absolutely.
episodes in, and wow.
It's a good season.
Mean,
It is,
first
and
season was crazy. Second season, like, yo, they. Yo, you always wonder, like, oh man, are y'all gonna be able to, is lightning gonna be able to strike twice? Yeah, dog.
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what, the guy who plays Billy, the guy who plays Jigsaw, he's so good in this season. Just playing the character the way they've written it. It's scary. Like I've never really seen the guy in anything before until The Punisher came out. he's really good as this character.
It's so crazy because, like, he is, like, straight up and down, like, British, like, posh British. And his New York accent is, like, is ridiculous. It's like you would never be able to tell.
I would never have known. I didn't know that. I would never have known that listening to him speak.
Yeah, man.
Because his English, his American accent is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Ben Barnes is definitely one of those guys you got to watch because he's a really good actor. Like, I liked him. I liked him even on Westworld. I liked him on...
that's right. He was in... I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he was in Westworld. I liked him in Prince Caspian, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they had him start off with a Spanish accent, which I thought was good. And then the following movie, he had a British accent somehow. They let him just use his regular accent.
Somehow.
That's drastic. But, you know, whatever the studios want to do, whatever.
I guess. Somehow.
I love Josh Stewart, the guy that played John Pilgrim. I love him. Like, he's awesome. Like, he has this way of, like, showing up. Like, his character looks, like, so tragic, so sad. And he just carries out his tasks. But it's just, like, he wears it with this burden. I love the way he delivered. Like, I'm only up to 7, but, like, he's killing it for me.
He's the Marine with the missing leg, right?
No, that's Jason Moore. That's the guy that's playing Curtis.
Curtis.
Yeah.
John is the ex-Russian.
Is he
right?
He
looks like a pilgrim.
Yes. He wears the pilgrim hat. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Still a little bit of a spoiler. You find out at one point that he used to be a Russian guy. I won't say more than Russian, but it'll make sense when you get there.
Right.
He was great. He was just that stone-faced, very religious.
Yeah.
Until it was time not to be. God, he is brutal in this show. He was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I was reading somebody's review of the season, and they were calling it a disappointing season. And the guy's main thought behind calling it a disappointing season was, there's no heart throughout the entire series. And my first thought was, because I hadn't watched it yet, my first thought was, why does the Punisher need a heart?
Yeah, I'm like, what movie are you watching, bro?
What are you watching the Punisher for? Like, are you kidding me? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Like, so when I watched the Punisher, so the best way to do this is my mindset right now. Because I've been heavy on Red Dead Redemption, so I've been in a very Western-type feel. You know what I'm saying? And then switching over from that game and watching The Punisher, I'm still comfortable because there's a very Western feel about The Punisher. The stranger that comes out of nowhere, has a marked and checkered past, but is doing the right thing. Like, you don't really feel the heart, but there is heart in that.
Absolutely.
But it's going to be brutal for the most part, the entire film. And that's how it should feel. So,
and when you get into the season and the relationship between him and the girl starts to take place, there's plenty of heart there. It's not really a spoiler to say it this way. You can tell by the end of the series when it's over that he feels like this girl is almost his daughter.
Yeah, like there's a very Logan feel to that relationship.
Yeah, excellent way to put it. Yes.
Yep.
That father-daughter thing between the two of them starts to come out as the season goes on. There's a lot of it in that piece. And even with Billy, by the time the season ends with Billy, there's a lot behind him as well. Like, he's not just this crazy, psychopathic, you know, guy in the season. There's a lot behind him.
Yep.
Without saying what happens to him, there's a lot that is very different from the first season you ever see him in from Punisher Season 1.
Yeah.
So, you know, that guy... to me, it's just like an anti-Netflix Marvel show guy.
Yeah.
One of those guys who just hated everything about, you know, Luke Cage Season 2 and Iron Fist Season 1 and 2 just because he could.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of little, not a huge amount of, like, it's the whole season's not based on heart, but there is a lot of heart in this season if you look right. at the right places for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, I loved it. I mean, it's one of those I'll definitely watch again for sure.
Yeah, this was definitely a good season. I can't wait to see where it goes. I'm like a little over halfway through it, and it's been performing very well. So,
and if they do what we expect them to do, which is cancel it moving mm-hmm. forward, I really hope Marvel does something further with Jon Bernthal, because he's just so amazing as that character. Like, yeah. you could give him a full length movie with that character and not miss a single beat.
Yep.
It would be fantastic to see that. So
yep.
I hope they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does feel like all these shows are going to end up on the Marvel streaming service, even though some people have said that's not going to happen. It really does feel like they will, just from some of the things you read here and there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're willing to let these, obviously not willing to let the characters go, but I think with most of the actors they've got, with Charlie Cox and Jon Bernthal and Mike Coulter.
Yes, right? Mike Coulter. Yep.
Those three in particular, if you're going to keep these characters going, you should keep those three. I'm okay if you recast Danny Rand. I'm honestly okay if you recast Jessica Jones, just because I'm not the biggest fan of Kristen Ritter. but those three in particular are perfect for those three characters, and you shouldn't change them at all. So hopefully they do that. Hopefully they stick with them.
I mean, we can pretty much guarantee, look, this, we're going to get the cancellation notice from the show, but if we do, I know for a fact, like, these shows are coming. I feel it. Like, there's no reason that they, like, Disney would just scrap gold. Just
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes zero sense.
Right.
So, yep, we'll see. We'll get the news shortly, and then, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll see Jessica Jones season 3, and then we'll probably get.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they hold off until Jessica Jones season 3 comes through.
Yeah,
and then they just cancel them both at the same time for whatever
yep.
reason.
Yep.
But it's obviously going to happen. You know, yeah. they wouldn't have canceled Daredevil. As good as Punisher is, I don't know if it's better than Daredevil for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But Daredevil was number 4 on Netflix top 5 most watched shows all over, like not just Marvel stuff. Top 5 in general of all their shows, and they still canceled it. So clearly, it's going to happen for the other two.
Yeah, man.
It's just an unpleasant but friendly way for Netflix to give Marvel all their stuff to put on their own service.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's pretty much what sealed the deal for me. It was like, after the cancellation of Daredevil, I was like, man, you gonna cancel the strong storytelling of that last season? Really? I was like, all right, there's something going on. So I'm like, I think after I knew Daredevil was getting canceled, I got comfortable. So I was just like, okay, all right, we're good. So
I mean, me personally, if I was, obviously, if I was in charge, the post-credits scene for Far From Home would have a silhouette of a very large man in a white suit with a bald head. As the new villain for the Spider-Man movies going forward.
Yeah.
Which you could then bring Daredevil into the Spider-Man movies
mm-hmm.
and have them both go against Kingpin.
All I know is Charlie Cox has been talking about this Spider-Man Daredevil team up. He still wants it.
He should get it.
Yeah. So
he should absolutely get it. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, dude. And let's see, we got two possible news things for the Marvel camps, Marvel camp and DC camp. So New Mutants, we're hearing that there's a possibility that it could be slated for a Hulu release. So instead of coming out in theaters, it's going to come out to Hulu, which, you know, it actually would be good for it. You know what I'm saying? Either way, if you do a theatrical release, yeah, that's cool. I think Hulu would be better for it because, you know, you got You got Runaways on Hulu. You know what I'm saying? So
Cloak and Dagger's on Hulu.
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger. It's on Freeform, but it shows up on Hulu. It's like that teen angst type storytelling would kind of be the perfect realm for it. So, and you know, Disney owns it. So
I think at this point that's the best place for them to go. I don't know that the New Mutants movie would do well in the theaters at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by the time they get it ready and get it out, Marvel's going to have control. Disney's going to have control over all of that stuff by Fox again.
Yeah.
And people are kind of, there's going to be that kind of thought of, well, Marvel didn't do it, so why would I want to go see it? You know, right. I mean, that's legitimate. There's legitimately people who are going to think that way, like me. they're going to consider that. So I don't know that it would do too well. Plus, it's been delayed
for
so long at this point. I think interest has probably waned a little bit.
Yeah. It's like been twice.
Yeah, and delayed significantly. Like, this is supposed to come out, like, sometime, like, a year and a half ago or something like that. It's supposed to be out, and it's still sitting there, so.
Yeah, man.
I think that'd probably be the best thing for them. Send it to Hulu, let it show up there, and see how well it does.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's going to be the only one, right? They're not going to... Once Marvel Disney has control over all this stuff, it's all going to get rebooted. Like, none of the people who are in Dark Phoenix coming out this year are going to still be in those movies once Marvel takes over. They're going to want their own casting, their own writers, their own stories. They're just going to redo everything, which is probably what it needs at this point, because in my personal opinion, the last few X-Men movies have not been very good. You know, so I think it's time to... It might be too soon as far as some people are concerned, but I think if you're giving everything back to the people who created it and giving them finally the chance to... make it work, you have to reboot it and get it going.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be better because it's going to be in the hands of the people who it belonged to, who know, very clearly know how to make these superhero movies. You know what I mean? When the worst movie you've made is people consider Thor Dark World, and Thor Dark World really wasn't that bad, I think they're going to be fine when they reboot it and
put stuff
back in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, man. So... hopefully it moves to Hulu. If it stays out in theaters, I mean, that's a risk, but, you know, if you want to get back as much of your money without, I don't know. I think at this point, spending money like it was going to be a theatrical release, you're behind the eight ball. So, I mean, just get it out there so that the most eyes can watch it. So, yeah. And then lastly we got here is, did you want to say something, Professor?
The most confusing news of the week, I would say.
So
DC is decided that based on the success of Aquaman, they are going to focus less on the team movies. They're going to go more focusing on director-focused movies and more individual character movies.
So, yeah.
Which is just, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't.
This is like, I don't know what goes on in those meetings, but there's not a lot of intelligence being shared.
No.
I can't believe that.
Look, the majority of the Marvel movies are individual character movies.
Yes, mm-hmm.
But they're all leading to something.
Yeah.
They're all intertwined in some way, shape, or form. Every single one of them is tied in some way, shape, or form to another movie. Every one of them. And every one of them has something that ties to the overall arc of a story that has culminated into a movie. The best movie, probably, of 2018, in my opinion. Infinity War.
Yep.
And everything coming to that movie was 100% worth it. No matter which ones you sat through, it was all worth it to get to that point.
And it's like, I think what bothers me the most about this is that nobody told DC to start with Justice League. Nobody told them to do that. Nobody said, start with a team-up movie and then tell their separate stories. No, like, that. How does that work? Like, where do you get, like, assembling all the pieces first but never doing where the pieces came from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, nobody told you to do that. Like, I think what y'all are figuring out is it's like, you know, oh, we're gonna lean more to a director-focused storytelling. We're not going to worry about the franchise and the shared universe as a whole. Like, don't scrap the shared universe because y'all are finally understanding why Marvel started off doing Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Captain America, and Thor first before they did the Avengers. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's like, no, I don't want to always have this conversation where we're constantly comparing DC to Marvel and how DC is like just behind the eight ball. They keep saying like, hey, we're going to do this director focused thing, and we're not going to worry about what they're doing over at Marvel as far as the shared universe. Look, it works. People want to see this as far as comic book retellings get told in live action. This is what we want to see. You can't say that people don't want it, because if you look at your TV universe, Greg Berlanti is over there doing what y'all should be doing. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yes. I don't know what I get y'all want to do this director focus. Do the director focus. I mean, if you really are honest with yourself, that's what Marvel's been doing. They've been doing director-focused movies. You know what I'm saying? They've been focusing on that, but they've also been including their shared universe. And the idea that you have to nod to your shared universe within your solo movie is ridiculous, because you don't have to do that. Most of the shared universe stuff that we got with Marvel was on stingers at the end of the movie. Like, once the credits roll, that's when we found out that, oh, everything is connected. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't within the... We're not sitting in an Iron Man movie talking about everything that's going on with the Hulk, but there may be little nods that say there may be a map on the wall that has, like, Wakanda listed, or a list of names that you'll see that have Stephen Strange listed on there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
These are little nods and little things that we got in the movies, but this was after we had established this universe and knew exactly where they knew exactly where they wanted to go with the storytelling. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, like, y'all got two solo movies that y'all did really well in theaters, but this is like the first one as far as a storytelling component that's been consistent all the way through. And now you think that, oh, we just need to focus on just the directors just telling these single stories. Like, why would you... Like, I don't understand what part of the process is difficult for you guys to understand. You know what I'm saying?
The first real thing we ever got from Marvel was Iron Man, right? Mm-hmm. The Iron Man movie, which everybody loved because it was so good. You took a character who was never really in the forefront, and you made a fantastic movie with him, and you launched it.
Yep.
But you added a stinger that said nothing more than, Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. The screen goes black.
That's it.
That one line, it's all you got, and it set up 10 years worth of movies and excitement, leading to two movies to wrap everything up.
Yep.
Two movies that everybody who enjoys these franchises has been looking forward to for 10 years. And they go to the subsequent movies, A, because they're interested, and B, because they want to see what's going to get said next that ties to that movie that they know is coming at the end.
Yep.
It's just what makes the most sense. It's how you get people to come to your movie and keep going forward. There's a culmination that you need to have, that you need to build to. If you do one-off movies, that's great, but what are you looking forward to at that point?
Yeah, it's like I'm not invested. I'm only going to be there for one or two movies because they're following characters that I actually like. Whereas opposed to, you know, like, I've never been introduced to the Guardians of the Galaxy. I've never read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic. I had never done that before the movie got released. But I knew it was Marvel, and I knew that the movie itself would be important, so I'm going to watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm sure that that was the same case that could have been set up for Suicide Squad. You set up that universe, and you establish yourself as a household name. When you release a movie like Suicide Squad and say, hey, you know, sometimes the bad guys can be good too, people are going to see the movie because you've already established that you make good films. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I think the crux of it is what kills me the most is, like, you know, their excitement with everything. You get Man of Steel, you get excited about that. So the next thing you do is you do a Batman and Superman movie. Like, can we get to know Superman first? Can we get to know Batman? You know what I'm saying? In this universe.
It's a whole new Batman that you have not introduced yet.
And it's like, you can't just be like, oh, well, you guys saw Nolan, so you know who Batman is. We don't know who Batman is in this world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. If your TV universes are not sharing the same universe as your movie universes, if you introduce us to Green Arrow in the movies, I still need to know who Green Arrow is in your universe. Right. You know what I'm saying? It just, that's just how it works. And it's like, I think the main kicker with the DC universe is that y'all were always a step ahead of the game than Marvel. You know what I'm saying? Marvel had to set up billions of dollars worth of capital. Disney had to set up billions of dollars worth of capital just so that they could get all their toys back. You had all your toys to begin with, and you're still just like, whatever.
Well, and arguably, when it comes down to it, DC has the bigger names.
Yep.
With Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, you have three of the most iconic heroes of all time. And they're three of the names that people, if you walk up to a random person and say, give me the first name of a superhero that pops into your head. Years ago, those would have been the three first names to come into head. It wouldn't have been, oh, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man maybe. But, you know, like the Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, those names wouldn't have been the first names in your head.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, it would have been Batman. And then it would have been Superman. And every once in a while, it would have been Wonder Woman.
Right.
But you have these three iconic characters that you could have built an entire world. You could have started, which essentially is what Marvel did. They started with Captain America. They started with Iron Man. They started with Thor.
Mm-hmm.
They used those three characters to build towards the Avengers, but it took, what, 4 or 5 years before we actually got to the Avengers movie itself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The first Avengers movie was at least 3 or 4 years after Iron Man, I think. Timing could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure, but something like that. You know, and I'm sure there's people who will respond to that and go, well, the end of Suicide Squad, you had Bruce Wayne talking with Amanda Waller, you know, about how they'd be ready to, you know, jump forward and take. Yeah, but then they, like, immediately jumped into Justice League beyond that. There was no build-up to it. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing. A, it's a movie that doesn't make sense having that meeting in it. Like, that meeting should have probably taken place before Suicide Squad.
Yep.
So, A, you build Suicide Squad up, and B, you build up Justice League. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, like, you know, they had like, an opportunity to use Amanda Waller almost like their Nick Fury. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but absolutely. You can't just show, like, to me, somebody showing up and say, hey, yeah, these other people. I'm like, well, as a if I was a just a common movie watcher just wanting to check out this film, I'm like, well, who is this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there were no introductions. It's just you going to show me some files. Like, come on, y'all.
Well, and that's their big introduction to Aquaman and Cyborg is 2 30-second clips in Batman vs. Superman. Before you throw them into an entire movie. Like, even, you know, while we didn't get much from Black Widow and Hawkeye before Avengers, they were bigger parts of other movies. You know what I mean? Like, Hawkeye maybe not so much, but Black Widow was in all over Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
You know, and Hawkeye was in Thor. Not all that long, but he was there and a more important part than 30 seconds worth of a shot. You know what I mean? So I mean, look, do I hope it works for them? Sure. Of course, I would love to see their stuff start to come out and be as good as the Marvel stuff and really rival it as far as the movies go. But like, while I didn't hate Aquaman, I didn't love it. I think it still had a lot of flaws to it, and so far it's my favorite DC movie that they've done over the past couple of years, outside of the Nolanverse.
Right.
You know, I don't really consider the Nolanverse part of the DCEU because that's not what they've been building on.
Right.
Necessarily, like that they've everything else is what they've been building on has been now. So if you consider what they're building on now, Aquaman's definitely been my favorite of all their movies.
Yeah.
And I didn't love it. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it like I do the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So I just think this idea of building these single one-offs, you know, they may have sequels, you know, Aquaman 2, Aquaman 3, but having them not really go anywhere outside of their own little world doesn't make sense.
You know,
part of the excitement in some of these movies is seeing Captain America show up in Spider-Man movies or Iron Man show up in a Spider-Man movie. That whole crossover, so you know that they're all part of the same world, is part of what makes the comics themselves so great, is that you know at any minute any hero could show up in any comic.
Yep.
Because they all live together, essentially, when it comes right down to it. They all live on the same planet. And to run these DC movies and pretend like they don't really exist outside maybe a name mention, you know, like the TV shows, they throw Bruce Wayne's name around.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason Bruce Wayne hasn't shown up on the TV shows is because they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But they still throw his name out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then they work around it and they add Batwoman, who was great in the crossover.
Yep.
So they at least have something that fills that world. You know what I mean? The TV shows do it perfectly when they do the crossovers every year.
Yep.
So why can't the... And they take entire seasons to build up to these crossovers.
Yep.
Why can't the movies do this? Why can't they build their universe? I just don't... I don't...
Yeah,
I think the only hope... And I don't mean to interrupt you again.
No, you...
I think the only hope, personally, I feel like they have right now is the fact that if it's still going to happen, because I haven't heard word one about it since they first announced it, is if James Gunn is definitely coming through to do Suicide Squad 2, when they see the success that it will probably have because of his name being on it, I think they lean more on him, and I think their universe starts to build better because he knows how to do it because he's been there.
Yep.
And that's the only thing I think they really have to look forward to at this
point. And what's crazy about that whole situation is it's James Gunn, who before Guardians of the Galaxy, he wasn't a director that people had been familiar with. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Marvel's been doing. It's been director focus, and it's been taking these risks on these smaller name directors to make a solid film. And they've done it, and it's ended up launching their careers. So it's like, I understand what you're trying to do, but you're not breaking the mold. Like, I need them to get out of that mindset, like, where they're just trying to be so different from Marvel that they're not taking, like, good things that have been done and applying it to their work efforts. You know, it's annoying.
Before Ragnarok came out, I couldn't have spelled Taika Waititi, let alone told you who he was.
Right.
And Ragnarok is one of their best movies, probably in their top five movies that they've ever created.
Yep.
So it just, it works. The way they do it just works. Why, you know, DC seems to think that they have to have these big name directors that have done all these previous films that everybody knows about to make it work, and it's just not true.
Yep. Now, if you're doing all this build up for this Joker standalone movie, because not only do you have Joaquin Phoenix, who's like a, you know, an Oscar award winning actor, you got Martin Scorsese, who's an Oscar award winning director. So now, if you do all this build up, and you have either a couple options that you have one option where this film is going to be vastly successful, and it's going to tell a story that people are going to be engaged in and want more of. You're telling me you're going to try and hem Scorsese into a corner and say, hey, can you build this universe for us? Or, hey, can you continue telling these stories? We want you to focus on a different character. I just don't think that's how Scorsese works. You know what I'm saying? Then, or you get this opportunity and you have all of this talent, but the story just doesn't hit with fans because they're just like, why? Why even get invested? So what are y'all going to do either way? That's millions of dollars that you flush down the toilet to try and make some kind of artistic statement when you should have just told the story. You know, let's end it on some final thoughts for this section.
All right.
As far as like DC making this focus to a director focus type movie storytelling. So go ahead and start us off.
I mean, look, what do I know? I'm just a guy who watches the movies, but I just think it's a bad idea. You know, I think will the movies be successful? Probably. You know, most of the movies have done fairly well just because they're DC movies. But I think it's disappointing to stay away from that idea of a shared universe, to get away from what people really want to see, is all this stuff leading to a point where you've got everybody on screen. You know what I mean? Like, the whole idea of Crisis would make a great movie, but you have to lead up to it. You can't just jump into Crisis as a movie. And you have to build these characters so people know who they are, know what they're about. I, you know, my thought is you would at least do two movies for each individual. Maybe not every individual, but two movies for the major players before jumping into the full movie. I would say you do at least like six movies, maybe seven movies before jumping into the main to have it make any kind of sense. And the fact that they're not even going to consider doing that much anymore, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's a poor idea. I think it's kind of lazy when it comes right down to it. But you know, they got to run their road, I guess. You know, obviously they're not willing to follow that Marvel blueprint that's showing you exactly how to do it. And clearly Infinity War is, you know, the sign that it's successful because it made billions of dollars. So, you know, it's disappointing. To me, it's disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, it's just like, at this point, it's just like, I feel like DC as a whole is starting to get to a better understanding of what they need to do with their movies, but they're still clinging on to this idea that they have to be so different from Marvel. And what they end up doing is sacrificing, you know, this whole storytelling aspect of their film universe. What they should do is just, you know, just got success with Aquaman. It's tough to say reboot based off of Aquaman, but just start moving with a different method from here on out. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's like, yo, Aquaman was a success for y'all. It was a clear success for you. You still tied it to your DC universe because you frame this story as being post Justice League. So this is Aquaman after the Justice League. So it's just like, okay, all right, stick with that. But like, know that, hey, we need an Aquaman movie. We need another Wonder Woman movie. We need a solo Batman film. Mm-hmm. And we need a legit Man of Steel sequel before you even commence the beginning some kind of Justice League 2. Like, not to mention the fact that you introduce three characters without giving them their own story. We still don't have a Flash movie, which has been in limbo for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
You said you were going to do Flashpoint, but now that's just looking more and more ridiculous the longer time you take.
Yep.
Still haven't, you introduce Cyborg, you give Cyborg basically an origin story in this movie, but you haven't told his story. So what are you going to do? Like, y'all are just, you know, just throwing around your toys and not really having any cohesive momentum with them. Like, slow down, tell these individual stories, then we can team back up again. Like, don't be so in a rush to get in a team up because you see somebody else doing team ups.
Right.
Like, you're doing your Civil War before you even set up, you know, tensions and relationships. Like, before we got to Civil War, there was a buildup of those tensions before we even got to that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Before we got to Justice League, there was a buildup of an intergalactic threat that was happening. You know what I'm saying? There was a building of these characters so that they could be assembled for this exact purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not setting it up right. You know what I'm saying? And it's because you're forsaking the storytelling aspect of this. So that's what needs to happen before any of this can even, you know, I get it. You got excited, reeling it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree exactly.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I think that is it. I think we don't have anything else. There's nothing real big coming out this week. Mm-hmm. We have The Kid That Would Be King coming out this week. If you want to take the kiddies out to see that,
yeah.
But we don't really have anything big coming out soon. And I mean, for me, next big thing that I'm geeking out about is Lego Movie 2.
Yes.
So
I do want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's coming out, I think next week. If not next week, the week after. And then we got the last How to Train Your Dragon. And, you know, then it's just waiting for Captain Marvel at this point.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the How to Train Your Dragons. I probably should at some point.
Yeah, man, it's a good film universe to get into, man. I definitely liked it. Good franchise.
Yeah, Lego Movie 2 is February 8th.
yep.
Alita Battle Angel comes out February 14th. I'm kind of curious about that. I'd kind of like to see that.
Yeah, part of me wants to watch the original and then watch this one before I do that.
And then next big one after that's going to be February 22nd. It'll be How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep.
And that leads us to March 8th, which is Captain Marvel. And that's kind of, I think, the next one that most of us are really, really digging for. So.
Yep.
So there you go. That's the next month or two as far as what's coming.
Yeah, then it's like a, then we're off a month and then we're back on for, so it's Captain Marvel, then we're off a month and then it's Shazam.
Yep.
And then Endgame, and then the following, so that's May, and then June, and then and then we're off another month, and then July we get Spider-Man.
Yes. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Man.
So, yeah, a lot of good things to look forward to.
So much good stuff coming this first half of the year.
Yeah, man. So, and next month for me will be Captain Marvel and Division 2, so... So if you're trying to talk to me, you better get it in now.
That's right. You may see a slowdown in the podcast for a little while. The boss is refusing to stop playing Division long enough to record. So.
As long as you guys are aware, I've given you ample notice.
That's right.
So, yeah, that is it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, all under The Boss's Desk, so check us out there. We also have this podcast up on Google Play and iTunes, so go ahead and subscribe, and you'll get regular updates for new episodes. If you have any questions, you know you guys can hit us up on Twitter. Just tweet us at The Boss's Desk. Send us your questions to questions@TheBoss'sDesk, and we'll take a look at your questions, and we'll bring them up on the show. If, you know, anything stands out, anything piques our interest, and we need to go do a little research, you know, so... Feel free to throw your theories up on there. We'd love to do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So hit us up. So, yeah, that is it for us here today. And we will catch you guys next week. We're out.
See ya.